Hello to my favorite human being. It's your favorite caffeinated, medicated, and say with me, never hydrated nurse, Nurse John. And you are back to your favorite podcast every single Friday. It's I Beg Your Pardon. How is my favorite bestie doing? How are you? How's my hardworking, beautiful, confident, self-loving, self-prioritizing, and kind bestie? I hope you're doing well. I hope life is going the way you want. And again, like I always say, if it's not, that's totally fine. We all have our days and our time will always come when it's meant to be, bestie. How's everything? Yeah, I hope it's good. If it's not, bestie, I'm here for you. This is your therapy every single week, bestie. And it's free. You don't pay anything. All you have to do is sit down, relax, and relate and be validated and giggle or cry with me or get angry with me. We can feel all the emotions in here, baby. Okay, bestie. An update with my life is that I am actually looking to move to an apartment. So I don't know if I told you guys before, but I am in a house, but I live downstairs, like in the basement, and upstairs is where my mom lives and my stepdad. But the thing is, I wanted to move to an apartment with my fiance, but now it's my wife, so that we can have our own independence and whatnot. Because as you may or may not know, in the Filipino culture or just the Asian culture, we're very like tight-knit family. Like, we love to be all together. And that's something that I think was shocked me here when I moved in Canada, because then here, when you turn 18, your family kicks you out. Or if they don't kick you out, your parents make you pay your goddamn like part in the house, which is for me is like, okay. For us in the Philippines, it's like when you're ready to fly, you can fly. And it's even to the extent that even though you're ready to fly, they wouldn't let you fly, which is, I think, is a bad thing about it. But also it's a good thing because then your family is always there for you. But then you always have kind of like a boundary so that you can have your own independence, your own life and everything. So that's what we're doing right now. But it's going to probably be next spring just because it's so complicated to move. I hate moving. There's so many things that you have to like care and then bring like, it's just way too much for me. And I've helped like one of my friends actually like 3 weeks ago when he moved to another apartment. That was a lot, and he has a lot more friends compared to me, so he had a lot more help. And I don't have a lot of friends, and all of my friends are working because they're all nurses or in healthcare, so I don't think they're gonna be able to help me. So I was like, you know what, let's do it in spring or closer to summer so that it's easier and it's hot and it's not like cold AF. You know what I mean? Anyways, bestie, before we start this episode, which is going to be interesting, you're gonna love this because it's something very positive. But before that, do me a favor, bestie. If you are listening right now, make sure you download this episode and the past episode. This will help our podcast to always be in charge so that every single person know, not just healthcare, about what we go through every single day. Make sure you follow the podcast in Apple and Spotify and wherever you're listening, and also share it and turn on notification. This will really help our podcast. I love you, bestie. And one more thing, bestie, is that if you're wondering what kind of like scrubs I'm wearing every time in my video, and the scrub that I only trust when it comes to like fit, sizing, and how it looks on me, it's Garde Malade. GardeMalade. And I have a discount code that you can use. It's Nurse John, just one N, GM. All together, when you're on checkout, you can use that and you can get a discount. I love them so much. They are so caring for the people who they partner with, because I'm partner with them and they really do care. And I like always ask them like, hey, can we do like a giveaway for a bunch of nurses or a unit, or just, you know, like give away scrubs for people like who deserves it? And they would not even hesitate. And I always tell them, like, before I partner with them, that one of the things that I do when I partner with a company is that they have to have the same value as I do, which is not just profiting from healthcare or their nurses or anyone else, but also giving back to them and really putting a highlight on nurses and healthcare workers. And they do, which I really, really appreciate about them. So anyways, that's that. All right, bestie, let's get into it. Well, this episode is all about, tell me one time when you go above and beyond your job. And I think a lot of us nurses and people in healthcare can relate to this, and even social workers, teachers. I think we've all done one time or many times something to someone that is above our pay grade, above our job, because we care so much. We love so much. And I think that's another problem that us nurses have, is that most of the time and a lot of times we do go above and beyond our job. And I think that's what CEOs, hospital, the government sees. That's why they took advantage of a lot of us and use that against us, because they think it's our weakness, because we're so weak for people. We're so passionate, we're caring, we do everything we could for someone. And that was used against us instead of like celebrated and praised and given reward to. You know what I mean? And if you've ever done that to someone, thank you so much. No matter how big or small it is, as long as it's coming from your heart, as long as it's something you've done out of kindness, goodness in you, you should be proud of it, because there's so many of us who's done it. And we need some positivity in this world, because again, this world is so negative and there's so many shit happening. And again, we should never, one thing I always remember to myself is that no matter how bad I was treated by someone, I would never treat someone else how I was treated. Because being a good person is something that no one can take away from you, or something that a lot of envious or jealous people can never take away from you. So make sure you don't do bad to somebody else because you've experienced it yourself. Like, don't go that path. That's not your path, bestie. Always kill someone with kindness. And it's not literally kill, but like kill someone with kindness. And always, always in silence. Because silence beats any loud emotions or conversation. Blah, blah. And again, I am reading real life situation, real life stories that people have submitted in my Instagram of what they've done above and beyond their job. So let's get into it, Bessie. All right, hold on tight. You're either going to cry, laugh, or be inspired, or do something for yourself or your own way. Let's do this. A time I went above and beyond. I had a homeless patient who came in for an infected leg, had an IND, went through a course of antibiotics, and was about to be discharged on my shift. He didn't know how he would be able to care for his wound because he said he didn't have the money to buy the supplies. So I made him a secret care package of wound bandage, dressing, tape, saline, and ointment so that he can clean and take care of his wound. I put all of the supplies in his backpack so no one would know. He was so grateful that he cried. He told me that no one in the hospital has treated him like a human being until I took care of him. I will never ever forget the encounter with that patient. Aw, that is really, really sweet. You know why? Because again, hospital supplies are really expensive in the United States. And I don't know where else, but where I am right now, since Canada has a free healthcare system. And I just want to clear this off, because I think a lot of American people think that it's so much better to live in Canada because we have a free healthcare. We have things that Americans don't have. But I can tell you right now, free healthcare doesn't mean free. We pay it from our taxes. I have to pay two taxes in here, provincial and federal taxes. And it's about 14.5%. So it's a lot. I'm paying more. And the thing is also, free healthcare means that if you have a situation going on yourself, or like you're sick, you need exams, it can take 2, 3, 4, 5 years. So yes, it's free. But then you could really be in a worst case scenario until you see someone for your situation. So free doesn't mean like fairy tale or unicorns and butterflies. So just want to clear that off, because a lot of my friends are like, oh my God, I wish I can move to Canada and like live. But yes, we have a lot of like better things here in Canada, like safety wise, we're safer here. And I would never trade Canada to live in the United States. And that's, again, is just my opinion, because I feel safer here. For me, it's the safety in my life that I care the most. And also we're very multicultural here. We're very multicultural in here, and so many other more that I am proud as a Canadian. Anyways, moving on. Hi, Nurse John. I love your podcast, Kabayan. Oh, she's Filipino. Kabayan means like someone who came from the same country. And I want to share my story. I used to work in the Middle East, and I had this patient who can speak and understand English. He worked as a laborer, a carpenter. Though he has insurance, sick leave cert is not covered, which means no sick certificate, no pay. Like what you've said, I am a nurse. I can fix everything. If you guys haven't seen that video that I made, a skit where like people are asking me to find a solution in their marriage problems or their bank situation, their debt, their family drama, because that's what nurses do. We go above and beyond our job that we are doing a lot of other things for our patient. We fix their TV, we fix their phone bill, we connect them to their family, we talk to their great-great-aunt from England. We do things, like more and more things that you would never even think we would do, but a lot of nurses do. So I paid for his sick certificate. Oh my God. So basically she paid for this person's sick certificate so that, oh, that is so sweet of you. I mean, that's really a lot. Again, that is coming from your pocket. And if you're working in the Middle East, I can assume right now that there is a 70% chance that you're working there because you're providing for your family too back in the Philippines. You're sending money for your kids to go to school, your parents, so that they can have food to eat. But then you take this extra step, this above and beyond your job, to take money from your pocket and pay someone a stranger's sick certificate so that they can pay their hospital bill. Wow. I don't know how much it is, but even a dollar, even 2 cents is something. And that's a lot for someone. And thank you for doing that. I do believe that he thinks of you or she thinks of you every single time for doing that to him. And again, good deeds, good karma are going to come back to you whenever at some point in your life. Thank you. And I'm pushing all the good karmas in you because you are such a good person. Thank you so much. Next. A time I went above and beyond for a patient was when a patient ride had arrived at the clinic for pickup. The patient's ride didn't see the patient and speed off. I immediately stopped what I was doing and sprinted out of the clinic and down the street to flag the driver. After doing all of that, the driver saw me and drove back to the clinic to pick the patient up. After coming back in, the patient was so grateful and thankful and was wanting to offer me money, but I said, "No, thank you. I'm just here to help." See, those are really small things, but then it's so big for someone who needs that help. That act of kindness can really shift. Even like, for example, I want to tell you guys a story of like, I have had patients where they are so mean on our first interaction or first face-to-face when I introduce myself and they don't really want to have a nurse or me as a nurse. And then I never really resort to giving the same attitude or giving the same vibe to them. Because I feel like if I just stay kind, if I just stay patient, if I just become more understanding of someone, then they would open up. Because a lot of times, again, in the hospital, people are reserved. People just don't want to be bothered. People are scared. People are anxious. So a lot of times, they're always in their fight or flight or defensive mode, which is understandable. And you cannot just come in as a stranger and be like, "I will be doing all of this for you and you're going to follow me." That is very commanding. That is very fearful. That is very scary. And again, you're a stranger. And again, if you give the same vibe, if you give the same attitude, then your relationship with this person is just never going to get better, to the point that you're going to have to change with someone. And if that someone was able to work it out with them, that is because they stayed patient. They stayed kind. Again, kindness can go a long way. Understanding patients or another person's situation can go a long way. We don't know what another person is going through or why they are the way they are. But unless we try our best to understand them, to get to know them more, to feel what they feel, then we are able then to kind of open them up and get to know them. And maybe you can have a good relationship with that person. Or maybe not, but you stayed kind because you're that type of person. If someone is violent to us, we don't show violence at the same time. And I'm not saying this applies to every single thing in life. But again, in some parts of life, when you can be kind and not aggressive, defensive, or mad or angry to someone, don't do it. Don't do it. But this is just so beautiful. She literally stopped what she's doing, ran. And I can just imagine how fast she ran, probably as fast as Usain Bolt, just to get that driver to come back so that the patient doesn't miss his ride so that he can get out of the hospital. Because a lot of times, a lot of patients just want to get out of the hospital setting because it's just so draining. And I can feel it. And I feel for them. Like if us nurses in the hospital are working 12 hours and we're dreading to get to the 12th hour just to get out, about the hospital, imagine patients who has been staying in the hospital for 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 7 weeks, 4 months, a year. They probably just don't want to see anything that has to do with a hospital. That's crazy. But thank you for doing this. And I know he appreciated, or she appreciated, you for what you did. Amazing. Next, I went to pharmacy after work one day. There was a little lady saying people were after her and her daughter dropped her off there with no socks. I stayed close by listening. The lady was clearly delirious. It was pouring rain outside in November. She had a little dog that was coughing away and sounded like he was dying. Oh, poor baby. The woman started to raise her voice, saying people are trying to rob her. The girl working was really young and looked scared too, so I stepped in to help. I work with dementia residents. I asked her what was wrong and that she is in a safe place. I asked her if we can call the police for her protection. She said yes. I then told the young girl to call 911 and explain how there's a confused elderly person who needs to be seen. Turns out this is the second time the woman left her assisted living home and does it when she has UTIs. The police showed up and got her all cozy in a blanket and then took her to the hospital. P.S. Didn't even know you can have pets in assisted living. Aww. Well, look at that. It's outside the hospital, but she has experience working with dementia patients, so she knows that this lady is actually going through something. Sometimes you'd see people, I guess, doing crazy things in public or acting weird in public. And I think 95% of the time, we think that this person is just crazy. But we never really dig into the fact that why is this person experiencing this? Is it because they have some mental issues, mental problems? Or is there an underlying cause why they are the way they are at this moment? Or why they are acting like that? Because a lot of time, it's either people are delirious because they haven't had water for 5, 6, 7 days. They haven't had food, they have an infection going on. All of these things has to be considered. And this is how nurses think. We always critically think. We assess people. That's why there's this joke how like nurses in public, they can just look at someone and they can tell, oh, that person has bronchitis or that person has a heart problem, because we're very vigilant. We use our critical thinking even outside because we want to make sure that if something happens, we can act accordingly, and we just don't judge people. And again, like us, like assuming that someone has a heart problem, it's not us judging them as a person. We're just assuming because we've seen it before and it happened to us before, and it's very, very same symptoms and physical, I guess, manifestation that we've experienced. So like we know what's going on, and a lot of times we're right. And I'm not saying we're never wrong, but we're always almost right. But what I'm saying is this is so sweet of her, because she stayed with that old lady. Because what if no one helped her and she struggles and she sleeps in the street? And oh, I just feel bad. Like I can imagine how hard it must be for her going through that. Because again, if when you're confused and you have an infection going on, and probably she's in the pharmacy because she's trying to find an antibiotic for herself. Or, you know, if this is the second time it happened to her, then the assisted living home has to do better though. Because how did she escape that fast? Again, this is a very old lady. There is a breach of safety somewhere that they have to fix, because otherwise she's just going to keep doing this and it's just not going to be helpful for her. And it just so happened that this second time, this lady is with someone who's a good person. She was helped by a good person, but what if it's a bad person? What if they try to hurt her? You know what I mean? Oh, thank you so, so much for staying with her, doing what you could, calling 911, waiting for everything to be settled, and then for her to get back to her assisted living home. That is really nice of you. And you have a good heart. And again, good karma is going to come back to you. Love you. Next. Hi, one time I had a patient, she was very sick and I knew she cannot go home, but nobody could take her for recovery because she had very complicated parenteral nutrition. My mom was working in a retirement home at this time and was in the management. She was the only one who wanted to take her for recovery. So we both went above and beyond to organize everything from her nutrition, special infusion, and to the transport. It was absolutely worth the work. She was there for a few weeks and was very happy with her decision. She regained so much strength and that made me really proud of myself. Greetings from Switzerland. Thank you so much to you and to your mom for going above and beyond what you can do and what you can give to someone that's out of your work, out of your profession, out of your pay. But since you guys have the ability, the capacity, the knowledge to help this person, you did what you could to help her. And now she's healthy, she regained her strength, she can live again by herself. And I think you should really be proud of yourself because you were part of making sure that this person is able to live again by herself. And you guys should be proud. Mom and daughter, you guys are blessed. You guys were raised right. You guys are kind. Thank you so much. Next, I once worked in a care home and ran a unit of patients diagnosed with dementia. The unit was so boring, magnolia walls, nothing to do, just boring. I wanted to make the unit more dementia friendly with colors and interactions. However, the home manager said we did not have the money for this. So I decided we would fundraise. I asked some of my team to join me and they did. We fundraised by making sausage and selling hot dogs very randomly. This is super cute. However, it worked and we raised over £1,000. Using this money, we got lots of paints and craft items. My vision was to make the unit look like a street and make the dining room like a restaurant. So we painted grass above the skirting boards. The unit was called Poppy, so we added some poppies too. We painted each door frame a different color, then add wall stickers of a lamppost, bicycle, 3D butterflies. It was beautiful. In the kitchen, we added some fun restaurant signs. There was a room at the end of the corridor that was not used, so we turned this into a sensory room. We brought the outdoors in. We had plants for potting. We put artificial grasses on the seats so that people could sit and feel. We got staff and residents to all put green handprints on the wall to make tree planting on the wall. At Christmas, we had a real Christmas tree in there. The residents thrived off this and you could really see a change in residents' mood. Super, super proud of this achievement. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I will pray for you that God bless you with more to your life. Just because no one understands how hard it is to have someone you love have dementia. Again, my grandfather was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease and it pains us to see him suffer every day and forget things every day. Honestly, I'm not going to call this little things because this is big things. What she did is so helpful for all the dementia patients because again, when they start to forget things, they go back from their childhood. They become babies again. And you know, when you're a baby, you like things that are sensory, that are colorful, that are easily interactive. And her doing this for the dementia patient is so helpful because then they can keep themselves busy instead of staying in their room bored and doing things that they don't want them to be doing. And this will also help their memory sharpen a bit or keep their memory holding on till the end. And this is so sweet because I wish I've done this actually for my grandpa because I didn't know any of these. Like all of these things, like doing sensory board or sensory room where they can have every single colors or every single things, playing music to dementia patient can help them a lot. It benefits them so, so much. And I'm sure that all the families who have their loved ones in that dementia care unit are so grateful for you and for your colleagues for doing and going above and beyond your job to do this project. And I know that sometimes management are not very supportive of this kind of things because again, they're saving money so that CEOs and the hospital can keep their money so they can keep funding their mansion in the Bahamas or the Caribbean. But again, I think sometimes we just gotta do it ourselves because otherwise, if we keep waiting for management, if we keep waiting for the hospital to do something above and beyond than giving us cookies and stale ass freaking oatmeal bars, we're gonna just have our hair gray. The crows are still going to be black. Like, nothing. They could never do anything. So we have to do it ourselves. Otherwise, nothing is going to happen. Thank you so much. I appreciate this so much. Coming from someone who's had a dementia family member who I love and dearly the most, I appreciate this so much. And I can feel the love that you've given for all of this people. Thank you. Next, help a palliative patient find a wedding dress the day before she passed so she could get married. Oh my God. That is so So sweet.
I hate when we talk about like palliative patient. It's just because like it's so touchy for me. Because actually, let me tell you a story and a real experience I've had. Working in the MedSurg transplant floor, I actually had a patient who was diagnosed with end-stage cancer. And she's a mom. And they've given her... I mean, she's been there for a while in our unit and it's just getting worse and getting worse, and they keep replacing her PEG because it keeps getting infected. Her tubes are getting infected. Everything is just going complication. And at some point, we really kind of built this relationship almost like a family, because at some point she told me, "Call me mama because you're not my nurse anymore. You're my son." And that to me is a lot, because then when patient treats me like a family, I treat them like a family too. And I always speak with her husband, and her husband is always there. I keep telling him like, "You have to go home because you have a business to run, and you have to make sure you take care of yourself, because as much as you love your wife, the purpose of me and the purpose of me getting paid is for me to take care of her. And if something happens or something you need, I will call you." But then he loves his wife so much that he doesn't care that he gives all of his time to her. And I appreciate that so much for him. But then I can see how much he is struggling, and he is physically, emotionally, and mentally drained. Because he would literally bring her food, everything that she likes before, would do anything for her. But the thing is, he's not realizing that I can really see how burnt out he is. But then he would not listen to me. So I really have to push him sometimes. And she would have to push him to go away. Like, she would get mad, my patient. She's like, "Go home. I don't need you here. I don't want to see you right now." And then that's the only way she can really bring him home, because otherwise he would stay there forever. Anyways, so then we get so close together. I've had her as a patient, and she would always kind of like request me as a nurse, which doesn't happen every time. But when we can and it's possible, I ask to be on that side of the unit so that I can take care of her. And it just so happened that most of the time I get placed on that side of the unit. So anyway, so we got so close, and I always make sure like I push her to, you know, try to get out of her room, do things and whatnot. She always follows me, and sometimes she gets pissed at me. She's like, "Oh my god, you are like the mom and I am the kid, because you keep pushing me to do all of this," because I want her to, you know, do things to get her strength back. And even though she's, I guess, is in palliative situation, but I think they haven't told her that she has this much of time to live. But at some point they did tell her, and then I found out that her daughter is about to get married. And then I think the only request that she had that time is that she sees her daughter get married, and her daughter made that happen because they got married in my patient's room. And so I did help organize everything. Like, we prepared her, like her sisters and friends were there celebrating with her. They dress her up to the best possible. She looks so stunning. She looks so beautiful, and they dress her up. I help her. I clean her so much. We even put like a little bit of perfume on her. I brush her hair. She looks so beautiful, and her daughter got married right in front of her in her room. I literally help like putting up like decorations so that the room feels more like a reception in a wedding. And I was just standing there and crying, because when they're doing their vows, her daughter and her husband, she was crying so much, but I was crying so much I was outside of the room, because I don't want to be inside, you know, to give them the privacy and this whole experience just for themselves. The room has a mirror where I can see the inside, so I was just there sitting, and I was literally sobbing and crying, like looking at them, because they were so beautiful. They were taking pictures together, and she was so happy, but she was suffering a lot though. So I make sure that I come every now and then to give her a pain medication so that she feels better. But then the pain medication she's getting makes her drowsy. So, you know, but what I wanted to make sure that time is to make sure that she is not suffering. She is not in pain. I keep coming back, making sure she's okay. I put her blood pressure cuff on just to make sure that her blood pressure is okay, but I silent it so it doesn't bother the whole ceremony. But it was just so beautiful, and I am so happy I was part of it, and I helped her make that happen. Because I even told my
I even told my assistant managers and all my colleagues that, hey guys, can we like clap after the ceremony happens? Or like, hey manager, so my patient really wants this to happen and I just want to make it happen for her because they've given her like 2 weeks to live and she's not really feeling good and I think she's gonna go very soon, but she really wants this to happen. So we did. We made it happen as a team. But I was just so happy that I was part of it. I was able to see that beautiful wedding and situation. I know she was so happy, but after that she started declining fast and fast, and at some point she passed away. But you know, but again, I was happy that I was part of that whole event, and I hope she's resting in peace right now, and I know she's happy for her daughter. Oh, that is so beautiful. Looking for a palliative patient's dress, wedding dress, so she can have her beautiful wedding. Thank you so much for helping her. Thank you so much for being there for her, for making her dream come true and being part of it. Next. Hey, John. So this is a pretty recent one. I'm an ICU nurse and I had a patient that came to Germany to a family member who is a doctor. Due to a couple events that have been completely the patient's fault, he ended up in the ICU. Since he wasn't able to speak German, just Russian, two other colleagues and me were the only ones able to communicate with him. Since he did not have any monies in euros, I made up this whole plan. Organizing his discharge, calling and getting clothes from the psychiatric ward, finding a hotel, a spot where he could exchange money, and even organize a Russian-speaking taxi driver. Aww, that is so sweet. That is the sweetest thing ever. Thank you so much for helping. And a lot of nurses do this. And I have had colleagues who have went above and beyond, again, their job to do this. And it's just so beautiful to see how other people would really push through and do all of this sorts of things, because who would do this to a stranger? Not everyone has the heart, not everyone has the compassion to do that for someone else. And this person did that. That is amazing. Next, I started my career in healthcare as a CNA on a Princess pediatric floor, March 2020. That floor quickly turned into COVID ward of my hospital, and I decided to stick it out despite being a new hire. Everybody was dying every week, so the entire staff on the floor was desensitized only a month later, until this married couple came in. Mr. and Mrs. Smith, we will name them that, were a beautiful couple in their 80s who both happened to become sick with COVID April 2020. Unfortunately, Mr. Smith was also admitted with C. difficile, so he was sequestered into his own private room while his wife had another roommate with COVID. He was not allowed to see her due to his C. diff status, and he would constantly ask how she was doing. Eventually, things took a turn for the worse for Mrs. Smith, and she was dying. Oh no, not a Romeo and Juliet situation. Mr. Smith wanted nothing more but to see his wife while she was dying. However, the powers that would not allow him to see Mrs. Smith due to his C. diff infection, all of the nurses took it upon themselves to keep pestering the MDs to please allow an exception. This man was about to lose his wife and all he wanted to do was hold her hand. Eventually, they relented. And it was my job to get him suited up in a disposable gown to go see his wife in the room across the hall. I was about to wheel him out in his wheelchair when he asked if I could find him a pot of pants. He didn't want to see his wife not looking like himself, at least somewhat. I ran to two different floors, but I was finally able to secure him a pair of pants so he could see his wife. He stayed in his wife's room for a few hours just holding her hand, and we eventually wheeled him back when he said he needed to go back to his room again. She died later that day, and he passed away the day after. Oh. Oh my God. Memories like this reminds me why I love this profession and the people I work with. Oh my God. That is so tragic. And again, like I've seen... I've heard so many deaths during the COVID pandemic, and I have many friends, and most of my friends are nurses. They have told me so many times how there's this one time where one of my closest friends worked in surgery, and he told me how he helped his patient who was suffering from COVID and was really having a hard time breathing, but the only wish he wants is to be able to FaceTime his family back in another country. And he was talking to them through FaceTime while he was passing away. And it was the most tragic and saddest thing ever, because a lot of family, a lot of people experienced that. And this is very the same. Oh my God, they were probably just waiting for each other to be able to hold their hands again. and say goodbye to each other. And I can imagine that I would have been so traumatized and so sad for them. And I cannot imagine how hard it must be for both of them, because they were separated. And at the same time, they were both suffering. The only thing they probably want is to be together and take care of each other, but they cannot do it because of the situation. And thank you guys for going and above and beyond your job and taking it into yourselves to make it happen that Mr. Smith is reunited with his wife so that they can spend some time together, because it must be so hard to not see the person you love the most suffering and not be there for them. And then things took a turn and they both died. And I know they were so happy and grateful that you guys done that, because they were able to see each other before things took a turn. And that was probably what they're waiting for anyways. That's what they're holding on to. Wow, that was really heavy and sad. I am so sorry, but thank you again. Thank you for doing that. That is so sweet. Okay, guys, moving on. That was really sad. I cannot imagine that. Like, whenever I think about like any senior residents that are more than 60, 70, 80, I always think about my grandparents. It makes me really sad because I don't want that happening to them. Because, I mean, it did happen to my grandpa, but like, you know, my only grandma now, like, I don't want that happening to her. Next, we had a patient admitted to our med-surg unit on a multiple occasion over the Christmas season for a pain crisis. This person had to spend weeks away from her two young kids and saw her husband for only short periods of time because he had to take care of his kids and keep working to keep them afloat. The day before Christmas Eve came around and I could sense the sadness in the room. I knew the two of them from working with them in healthcare. They were always the nicest people to work with and treated everybody with kindness. So I asked them if the two girls who at that time were under the age of 7 at that time were excited for Christmas. The husband looked at me with the saddest eyes and said he hadn't even had the chance to shop yet. So I stopped at the nurse's station after report and put together a plan. This is so sweet. Put together a plan with some other amazing healthcare workers I work, and then we planned a shopping trip. Oh, that is so sweet of you guys. And again, look at that. They know this patients from before because they were so nice, they were so kind, and now people who have they treated kindness, respect, love, compassion is now giving it back to them. Guys, good karma comes 360 in your life. That's why being kind to somebody else, being nice to someone else, appreciating someone else, being compassionate goes a long way in your life. Sometimes you don't see it coming, but at some point in your life, you're going to appreciate it and you should thank yourself for being kind to someone else. And this is so sweet because those girls probably were sad because, again, they're kids, right? They're expecting gifts on Christmas. They're expecting presents. And it's hard to know that it's Christmas time when you cannot be with your parents because your parents are sick, and at the same time, they're so busy working. So you're looking forward for gifts. And if you don't have that too, they would be devastated. Like, they're probably gonna have trauma. But you guys made it happen for them that they received gifts and still feel appreciated by their parents, even though it wasn't their parents who did that. But you guys help those kids feel loved and appreciated because you guys understand their parents and what they're going through right now. Thank you so much. All right, last story that we have. You guys, this is so positive. This is so nice to hear these stories. And I hope it inspires you guys that doing a good deed to someone can really change someone else's life and your life at some point. Okay, last story for our episode this time is, I work as a home caregiver, aged care, and one of my clients has dementia. So I spend most of my shift just organizing their medication and meal prep. One time I was sick, so I had 2 days off. I came back to my client's house and oh my God, she had no food in her house. Her medication hadn't been taken. Medication is in a lockbox, so only caregivers can access it. I called my supervisor to ask what happened when I was away, and they said so and so covered you. When I explained what happened, she didn't believe me, as the person who covered me is family. So I sent proof of everything, paperwork, medication, everything. Nope, they didn't get in trouble trouble, but you know what I had to do. Fix everything, this poor client. I felt so bad. We spent the whole time together and we made a bunch of food. But one thing I always think about after this is how mistreated elderly people are. I love my job and I love everyone, but this caregiver doesn't deserve the job. First of all, I just want to recognize what you did for this person is amazing. She probably appreciated you, because if she was left like that and you didn't come back to the job and, you know, didn't come back to see her, she would have suffered at home or wherever she's at. Because again, not every healthcare workers are good healthcare workers. Just like not all people are nice, not all people are good. And it's just so happened that the person that came in to cover for you was again a family, so they didn't got in trouble. And at the same time, she was not meant to care for elderly people. And you are right, a lot of elderly people are mistreated and abused. And I've seen it so many, many times in the internet, and they don't deserve that. Those people deserve understanding, love, patience. And I just cannot imagine how some people can be so cruel, and how some people are in healthcare to care for someone and they treat people that way. Like, I don't understand. Because some people, I think they take their personal traumas, their personal bad situation, and apply it or show some kind of domination to someone so that they can give that bad experience to someone else. That is not right. I don't find that that is not just. And it's just so happened that some scenarios are being caught by actually good people and it's being resolved. But imagine those other elderly people who have to suffer with caregivers who doesn't care about them, who mistreats them. I am so, so sorry for the families and for all those elderly people. I couldn't feel for you guys more, because again, I grew up with my grandparents and I would never, ever, ever in any time of the day do that to my grandparents or to an elderly person. No matter how demented they are, no matter how rude they are, I can never. They don't have the strength as much as you. They don't have the energy. They don't have the capabilities. But these people were mothers. These people were fathers. These people were uncles, brothers, sisters to someone. And imagine them knowing that they are being mistreated. Crazy. I don't like that. But thank you so much for prepping food for her, fixing her medication, making it all happen back to normal again for her. And I hope that person who mistreated her gets her bad karma. I'm not wishing it on her, but she will get it absolutely for what she did. And that is our Go Above and Beyond Your Job episode. I hope a lot of you guys have been inspired to show kindness, to bring in positive actions and positive outcome to some other people and strangers. Because again, guys, kindness goes a long way. And if you have experienced things before in your life and it's not good things, never ever treat someone else how you were treated badly. Because that is not right for you to do that. Because you end up being the same person who treated you badly. So there's no difference between you guys. So always show kindness, love, compassion. And again, if you're working in healthcare and you're showing this, this is the reason why you're in healthcare. This is the reason why you're a nurse. This is the reason why you're a teacher, a social worker, a pharmacist, a doctor, all of these things. Anything good you do is the reason why you're where you are right now. And again, good karma is 360, baby. It's gonna come back to you on the time you don't expect and when you deserve it. So thank you guys so much for listening to our podcast. I love you guys so much. Make sure you download this episode and the past episodes. Follow our podcast, turn on notification and share it and tag I Beg Your Pardon on Instagram. And I love you guys so much. I hope to see you next week. Love you, bestie. Mwah.